We live an ocean apart. My really good friend, Jason Timbuktu in Stockholm, and me, Chef Marcus Samuelsson, right here in Harlem. Our lives have forever changed because of a virus, COVID-19, Corona, or Rona. So many questions. What's gonna happen to us? Can we do the next gig? Will my restaurant ever get open again? What's gonna happen to our families? We're all nervous. We all don't know about tomorrow. Please tune in to listen to This Moment, a podcast that deals with insecurities, food, culture, a conversation between New York and Stockholm. Check it out.
So, tape one, coronavirus.
This is from my first recording diary on April 8th.
Just a couple of weeks ago, we felt like we were on top of the world.
Me speaking into the microphone while my wife and son were sleeping.
Everything was coming together, knowing that we would open Red Rooster over town. But it's just how quickly things can change. A couple of weeks later, fast forward, we realized that nobody in America, not New York, doesn't matter how many restaurants you have, the coronavirus is coming here. And it wasn't this obscure thing in China that would stay there. It really also shows how interlocked we are. So it's scary times, you know, scary on every level that I've never been scared before.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, this moment, we wanted to start something. We've always been friends. We both have connections in New York and Sweden.
We wanted to share our experiences, one from Sweden and one from Harlem. And we couldn't wait to find a production team at the time, so we just went ahead and started a podcast on our own. This is our first raw, self-recorded conversation to kick off This Moment podcast.
It's so strange, Jason, that this moment became the jump-off point for this project, for this podcast. Huh?
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about doing a podcast for years, and then this kind of rift in time just opened up with this global pandemic. And, you know, you called me a few days ago and was like, maybe this is the moment we should start that podcast we always talked about. Mm-hmm. We're sharing the same reality. You know, the pandemic is going on here, but the reality of what things are like on the ground in Harlem and what things are like on the ground in Stockholm are just vastly different. So
I need this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need this download. I need to talk to you. I'm so happy we're starting this moment. And, you know, it's funny and funky that a moment like this is the reason how we actually, like, we like stop, we gotta do it. And you and I have always gone this JoJo life and identity life between partly Africa, but mostly Sweden and New York, and specifically mm-hmm. Harlem. We've gone back and forth mm-hmm. where on different times, we, you know, obviously both of us lived in both places, but you were actually here about 3 weeks ago. What were you doing here?
My book, A Drop of Midnight, was just published released on March 1st. right as the kind of rumblings of the COVID-19 pandemic were starting, but we still didn't think that it was going to reach American shores in the way that it has. So my book came out March 1st and March 30th. Mm-hmm. My stage performance, I turned the book into a stage performance with monologue, storytelling, and music. That was supposed to open at Harlem Stage on March 30th. Now, obviously, that didn't happen. But up until March 15th, I was still thinking that we were going to go ahead, that somehow miraculously it was going to happen. But March 16th, I was sitting on a plane back to Stockholm. So landing in Stockholm, all of a sudden, like, whoa, okay, I was supposed to be in New York right now. I had planned and prepared for that work for a year and a half. Now I'm here, you know.
I just also think that project sort of personalize how we all think about things, right? Mm-hmm. That you planned, first of all, it's incredible. It's an incredible journey. And then being told to us from a book form, but also as a stage play. And, you know, we at Rooster, we feel very connected to it because a lot of those rehearsals are done at Genie's with the lovely Gloria and Ricky Walker. And one of the big, I think one of the, it was Sunday night or Monday night where you guys threw a fabulous event, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was in the room and the room was just jumping and it was absolutely amazing. So we were just two creatives living our busy lives, very often married to our project, saying like, this is the time I'm going to do that. Everything has to be planned. You planned it with your manager. You planned it with the staging. Just like any project, whether you have a 9-to-5 job, or you have a creative, this has taken months and the dates have gone back and forth. And as all of us been like, what do you mean? What's going to happen to my project? But I'm here. And then you kind of start to realize, hey, it's not about my project anymore. No. This is bigger than that. When did that dawn on you, do you think, Jason?
I was in Chicago. I think it was March 11th. I was in Chicago and something, you know, I've been in LA doing book events. I landed in Chicago to do a book event there on March 11th. And Chicago was pretty much going on with business as usual. But at the same time, you know, the pandemic was picking up stateside. And something just hit me that like maybe it's not such a good idea to go ahead with, you know, to start the rehearsals for A Drop of Midnight. And maybe it's not such a good idea to actually go through with the premiere on March 30th. And I actually called you that afternoon from Chicago and was like, hey, Marcus, you know, you remember the call, right? But I was like, I just wanted to kind of bounce that off you and was like, you know, I'm thinking about maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe I should postpone the stage performance. You were crystal clear. You were like, cancel everything, man. This is not, it's not about, just like you were saying before, it's not about our plans, what our aspirations and dreams had been previously. That's the same for everyone. But right now, all that is set aside because something momentous has happened, something nobody has planned for. Unfortunately, you know, even the people that should have planned for it haven't planned for it. And to me, it was just like, it was just a 180 flip for me because I just realized when speaking to you that like, shit, he's right. You know, we're not going to be able to do this.
The weekend before, the Sunday before, we did our Harlem walk that we always do. And you and I just went to this amazing performance at the Parlor on 160th and Edgecom and watching Marge. We were walking in Harlem and I just came back from Miami. We were ready to open our restaurant in Miami and the world just came crumbled in on me as well. And I just feel like because I was in New York and because I was specifically in Harlem, maybe it was easier for me to see Jason because he came to Harlem before it came to Chicago, came to certain places. Yeah. And we went also like Harlem is the epicenter of the epicenter, right? As I'm walking to work that week while you were gone, it's like tenfold of the amount of times that this got worse. So, you know, people started to leave town, but we decided to stay in town and so on. But you got on that almost that last flight. How was that flight home? I want to talk to you about that. How did you feel?
Well, it was weird. The plane was half empty. I was in a weird state of mind because, you know, when something like this happens, when nothing like this has ever happened, you know, to any of us, really, you know, I think the people that are alive that can remember the Second World War, they're the human beings alive on the planet that can most closely relate to when something happens that just overrides everything, like everything, you know.
Yeah,
we're raised, you know, I just realized that I'm raised in a place with such privilege, you know, that I've been able to take my future for granted. Not only have I been able to take my future for granted, kind of like, you know, I'm owed my future. You know, what do you mean? I've been working for this. I'd done all the steps properly. Yeah. I'd written the script. Mm-hmm. I'd rehearsed it. And then all of a sudden, gone. You know,
you sound like you deserved it.
Well,
you deserved this moment. You were right.
Well, this is just some of the emotions that were going through me, and at the same time, I'm realizing, but this is for everyone. This is like a blanket over everyone's plans. So I'm not just saying me on an individual level, even though that was the emotion that was going through me, but like all of us, take our plans, our tomorrows for granted.
Yeah. No, but for me, it's like I have a couple of numbers in mind, and I would say 25-10. Those are the days, those are the numbers that I think about. It's taken me 25, me and my team, it's taken us 25 years to get to this point. It took 10 days in March to ruin it. So I've been really shaken by that. But then also at the same time, I'm healthy. My wife is healthy. Zion is healthy. But those days, I'm going to take you back the first sort of week in March, which you start to realize that thing over there, and this also shows how connected we are as a world, right? A wet market in China, deep in China, can unwrap everything. So I started to realize, you know, we have restaurants in 8 countries. We're about 30, you know, our team is about 30 units, you know, in 8 countries, many different cities. And one by one, they started to call in. What's going on? Well, it's not as bad as in Montreal as it is in Stockholm, for let's say. Or it's not as bad in London as it is in New York. And every place is different. And all the managers, we started to call, we started to talk. Within a week, we started to shut place down one by one. One in French, you know, Norway shut down before Finland shut down before Denmark. Then Sweden's kind of like stayed open. London shut down when New York shut down. And I'm watching this one by one. I ended up by the end of that week, that first week of March, Jason, not even pick up my phone. I was like, there's no point even. I'm like, I'm just going to leave the phone at home and go to work. Once you undress your business and you're back to zero, right? And one way it actually felt, well, you know what? I came from a hut in Africa. I can draw strength from that. I've been an immigrant coming to this country with no money. I never did this for the money anyway. But then the second week was about all the logistics of that, right? Do people go on employment? What's the security?
All your staff. Yeah.
Exactly. And what this has done is really shown how vulnerable a society like the United States is, the biggest, the richest country in the world in many ways, but still doesn't have a healthcare system, still doesn't really know. You know, the unemployment system compared to Sweden is completely backwards. So in many ways, this pandemic has really wrapped the papers off and shows really how vulnerable a society like this is.
I mean, it's obvious to a lot of people and has been for a long time that the capitalist market economy is full of flaws, right? The capitalist market economy also depends on standing on the shoulders, heads, and backs of the majority, right, to feed and to enrich a small minority. And that's one of the things that this has really pulled the sheets from under. And now it's just obvious to a whole lot more people that, you know, thinking that the market is going to come in and fix this is not necessarily true.
No.
What countries need now is government. You know, they need tax.
No, real government.
They need tax dollars to come in and help people like on the ground. You know, and if it weren't for government money, if it weren't for governments having tax dollars, then you know the market wouldn't fix this. What this pandemic has I think shown to like everybody, and then it's on different levels how much we're actually, you know, willing to absorb and process that.
Yeah, but it's also shown for me that once again the poorest of the poor is the one that's going to get hurt the most, right? And not,
I mean, yeah,
it's, numbers is forever, right? Being a black man, we're both black men, and the numbers start to come out now. Who is actually dying? Who's actually coming, not going to come back from this? It's largely African American men. And all the underlying illness that's, you know, the no access to healthcare for decades, right? So there's a higher level of, let's say, diabetes. There's a higher level of asthma because, you know, our neighbors probably have the worst buildings and stuff. So all these underlying pillars of economy and poverty shows here, right? So when you think about who's going to get access to a ventilator, and there's not enough ventilators, well, the poor person is being put, you know, in the back of the bus again. So poverty has so many other layers to it, and this pandemic has shown that it's another one. Even the city, Jason, that we both love, New York City, it's almost empty. Most people left. And that was a big decision for me. I said to myself, like, I'm the captain of the ship. I can't leave. I got to be here. Like, this is my tribe here.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You know, I think that the blessings of being a black man is that we have so many different, we have to almost live this double life and triple lives, right? In order to fit in society in many different ways. I mean, think about, you know, if you go to Rosengård right now, Jason, you can sit there. If you want to go and have a conversation at the Swedish consulate in New York City, you have a place there. Like last night, you did SVT, and you have a place there, and you're a husband, mm-hmm. and you're a father, and so on, right? So you have to live these triple lives, right? And you mm-hmm. can, you figure out how to navigate. And as an immigrant, and as a black man, and somewhere from the ties to Africa, this has helped me. We all have different get-ups. We all have different things that, you know, help us mm-hmm. through these times. This has helped me. So I've been thinking, mm-hmm. what would my dad do? Even to a smaller extent, but also important for me, you know, my Swedish mm-hmm. father came from a fishing village, and he was the first mm-hmm. one to leave the village to go to university. And he always had doubts about that, because at some point he shut down his father's business, being a fisherman, a long-standing mm-hmm. tradition, by going to university. So he was always in doubt about, can I live this double life between being a fishing boy, a kid, but also having to go through academia. So it's a different extent when you talk about Sweden versus Ethiopia. But this, both sides of my family have reinvented themselves. And that has been a place that I've been taking as a strength, you know. The second week of this, Jason, because I had to pivot, I had to reinvent ourselves. Mm-hmm. We went into total charity mode. So for the mm-hmm. last 2-3 weeks, we've been serving 15,000 meals for the media between Miami, Harlem, and
That's
Newark.
That's incredible, Marcus.
But I don't think I would have done it, Jason, without having the ties to Africa, without staring poverty in the eyes in Ethiopia, without living in Harlem. You know what I mean? So we draw from these places, you know, and it's been very, very important for me, you know. One thing that lifts every morning is, though, has been your spits, your raps, your beats. Every morning you've had a quarantine spit. Tell me about that. Where did that come from?
So like I was saying before, I was sitting on the plane home from New York, going back to Stockholm, thinking about, well, wow, you know, I just kind of reflecting over my own privilege where I had expected, you know, what I had planned to happen. And then just realizing that, well, it isn't happening, and it's not happening for anyone. But okay, what am I going to do now? I mean, obviously I'm going back mm-hmm. to my daughter and my wife, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be great to reunite with my family, especially in this time. But what, you know, I'm in a creative void here. You know, I was supposed to be doing other work in another place, landed back in Stockholm. The first thing I did, I started writing letters to old friends and family members that I haven't spoken to in a while, just to keep myself busy. And then, you know, like day three of my quarantine in Stockholm, I just started writing rhymes, because that's what I've done since I was 14. So somehow I just reverted back to my kind of the core of my creative being, which is, you know, I'm a rapper. And so I got to just rap about these emotions, about the situations and conversations that I'm having.
Rebecca texta from Brooklyn och sa att jag är nedstängt. I'm guessing Adam in London is feeling the same thing. Och Jessica som jobbar som doktor på SÖ sa att om jag ser vitamin intravenös till dem där det mest behövs, en hade inte bakat lös. Andan hos oss samtliga till Addis Abeba. Man pips in en cool alfabrika. Monique and James, Harlem stage, Waterworks, Brother Mark, sorry for your loss. I know it hurts, Pepper sa att det rullar stridsvagnar i Hollywood. Snacka med mamma, men Lund verkar ha hållt sig lugn. Timme sa att Svante sa att inga lopp på dödsbädden. Jag ringde många precis, sa han var helt healthy. Trisha's on a mission to educate me, so thanks sister. To the house in the south of France, to Annabella Nessa. Det fredag vi får se hur helgen blir rapmässigt, men vill ändå lämna er med en liten världshälsning. Quarantine bars, day 4.
So for 15 days I put up one verse each day to a different beat that I love, you know, different instrumentals from J Dilla to Jungle Brothers to Kendrick Lamar, whatever I'm feeling, and just trying to process it as a type of journal, you know. Let me ask you though, because talking about, you know, it's just amazing to hear that you've turned all your restaurants into community kitchens. And what is the feeling? What is the vibe there when you're standing there? And I'm guessing there's a long line of people waiting for food in order to be able to survive, you know, that the government isn't providing for them. You're helping them with that. It's small business owners in Harlem that are going out of pocket and putting in that time to make sure that the community survives, right? So yeah. What is the vibe? What is the vibe like, you know, on your...
Well, Jason,
your...
you know, I think that I speak a lot about being in Harlem, but also of Harlem, right? When you're an immigrant and you're new to a place, like you're in Stockholm, but you're never really going to be of Stockholm. Your daughter is the first one that's going to be in and of Stockholm, right?
Yeah.
And as moving from Midtown to Harlem, my goal, this was a place that I wanted to be in and of. And I mean that in the good times, you know, when you see Rooster is bumping on a Sunday afternoon and Dapper Dan is walking in and out and, you know, and ASAP is coming through, you've seen what that means. But it also meant something on the tougher days. And those are the days that we're in right now. And that walk from my house to the restaurant, crossing Lenox, walking up to 125, it's always people. And now there's no people. It's spring in New York, so it's stunning. But there's no people. So it's very, very like surreal, like out of a movie. But once you get closer to 125, it's basically methadone center. The neediest are coming out of there and getting their fixes and getting no support. And I was like, we got to do something. This is just going to root back to, you know, you're talking about 50, 60% unemployment. You're talking about a completely, completely lawless society. So turning the restaurant into a community center was an idea. But doing it is completely different, Jason. Walking that line every day, I'm going to do it today again. It is unbelievable. First of all, I've never been scared of working, right? But I have gloves. I have my mask on. I put it on. Every time I put it on, I think about it. I don't want to get it. I stay a little
prepared. You don't want to bring it back to your family.
I don't want to bring it back to my... This is real, right? So Zion and Maya... And, you know, you don't mind working hard, but you've never been afraid of work, you know, going to work. This is a new thing for me, so I have to deal with that. And then when you stand the line and pass the food, so passing up the food, we have to learn different things too. It's not just, so we have the dishes, two meals per day.
How many?
Four.
That's a four.
You're doing both lunch and dinner?
Lunch and dinner, yeah. We do, but yes, we're serving it in one serving, two meals. But it's all time to learn new things. And so we get the food. We say, how many in your family, ma'am? Or how many in your family, sir? They say four. Okay. Then we drop a bag of four for salads, for fruit, piece of food, for dishes. Mm-hmm. And then we leave it on the table. And then they have to walk up. Right, and we have to step away.
Okay, so you're not actually handing it to you're doing it at that distance.
Yes, we've got to do it at that social physical distancing because we have to learn that. Right, so that was a different way for me to learn. So even on the line, I've done it.
And how long is the line then? Because then people are standing with that distance. That line must be crazy.
We start serving at 12, at 10:30 already. It wraps around the block.
Wow.
So
wow.
When I get there around 10:30, I start walking the line first and making sure everyone in the line are practicing social distancing as well. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, if you're on masks and you're having a dude come in and tell you, like, please, that's social distancing. But, you know, it's not my job to edit them, but it's like, hey, they got to keep each other safe. But then also when my mood goes down or one of my cook's moods goes down or one of my, you know, Robert, one of the guys that does the doors of our restaurant, he does every morning prayers for the line. He makes sure the mood is up. And then when our mood is down, the line is, the people in the line is the one who said to our mood. They're like, what's up, chef? What's going on? You staying fresh? You know, it's Harlem. So even if they're they're talking back. And it's like, hey, I like the meal better yesterday. What's up with you? You guys are going down.
Yeah, man. You still got to live, man. You still got to live. You're living until you're dead, right? Yeah.
Yes. And I love that. Because that's, and I said to my staff, we still have customers. We actually, we have, we're in the most important work ever. It's just different customers. So we turned a corner on that, and we were actually yesterday we were able to get Michael. We do the same work in Newark where we serve the first responders, the nurses, and so on. We were actually able yesterday we got a huge boost because Michael B. Jordan, the actor, the Black Panther actor, he is from Newark, so he helped us. He joined us, and we raised a lot of money together to be able to serve 100,000 meals in Newark alone.
Wow.
Until June. So Michael B. Jordan.
That's so dope, Marcus.
Yeah.
But Marcus, let me ask you, because, I mean, Harlem Hospital is what? It's 10 blocks from Red Rooster in Harlem.
Yeah.
It must be. I mean, because I'm guessing there's not a lot of traffic on the streets. Is it like a constant flow of ambulances in and out? What's that like being so close to a place where you know that life and death is happening? You know,
my son, Zion, the sound of ambulance now is like, it's almost like the ice cream truck. You know, he runs to the window every time. You hear it constantly. I mean, you heard noises in Harlem before. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was always police, ambulance. But it was also overshadowed by the amazing people in Harlem. Right now, since there's no cars and no people, you can hear up to 150th Street from my house, and it's only ambulance sounds that you hear. Yeah. There's so many bodies, Jason. So they take the bodies out at night. They have no place. So they're telling us all these stories already that the bodies goes out at night because there's so many people dying. They can't keep up. And I mean, right now, Jason, there's no time to process, right? I think I will process. All of us will process this maybe 6 months from now because we don't even know. The scary thing with Corona is it's so many unknowns. We don't even know what the new normal is going to look like. I mean, you know, that's why I don't know what the new normal is. I know that I'm proud to say I'm a little bit scared. Mm. I don't know what tomorrow's going to give, but I'm also the silver lining in all this. Tell me for you, what is the one good thing? What is the positive thing out of all this besides your beautiful speech?
Well, you know, hearing you speak, Marcus, about the situation for you going through this moment and for your community and the community where that you serve and live in, it's just such a stark contrast. I mean, we know the difference between the United States and Sweden, but in a moment like this, you know, Sweden being a much smaller country, but also a country that for almost 100 years has built up a welfare state that over the past 10, 15 years, they've been dismantling slowly, but it's still, you know, a lot of the framework is still there. And when something like this happens, it is very, I think people here are not scared in the same extent that they are in where you are, because this is the moment where having a strong welfare system makes all the difference, you know?
Yeah.
Like people here can get, they're getting, like people here are getting laid off too. People are having to deal with not having an income, but they know at the same time that they will be compensated. Maybe not as much as they would if they would be working, but the state is taking care of them, you know?
Two things that I want to ask you before we run. Silver lining for me has been I've been home more with my family, and I really started to question what was I doing, what was I thinking. I know that the new normal for me, I don't know what that's going to be, but I do know that I'm going to take on less, and it's probably been in a weird way the stop that I needed. And I started to cook more at home, and I mean, just like you being a rapper, right? Like you go back to your basics. So I'm like, I did a dish for my team, for my staff. Maya and I want to cook Ethiopian food. So we did injera from scratch, started 2 days before. I was oven drying tomatoes because it wasn't tomato season. So I treat these like being already, I'm going back to the basics of being a chef. You know what I mean? Yeah. And my, you know, we're eating, I had like this bok choy and broccoli stew curry last night with the coconut rice. Wow. So we're going into these like vegetarian food that has just been amazing too. I wrote an op-ed for CNN that we call for systemic change. And I said, one of the underlining titles in the piece was, this is a moment for America to become a little bit more like Sweden, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing that, obviously, you know, the rest of the world constantly look at for America and pick what's good about it. But then they go mm-hmm. back and pick what's good about their own country. And I think that's the right way to go. But America rarely looks outwards and look at other right. countries for something. And I sure. think, like, here's an opportunity to say, it's very patriotic to pushing up on your country, to pushing back and saying, how can we evolve? How can we do it better? And I felt like mm-hmm. this moment is a moment for America to say, pause, here's what we've done great, but here's how we can do it better. And that's basically what all creatives does all the time, right? Like mm-hmm. when you mm-hmm. go back and do a record, you don't just say, oh my God, my last record was so great. You bring that with you. And then you said, well, this is what, how I would like to improve or do something differently. Mm-hmm. We got to wrap up, but I got to say, Jason, this has been, I hope, I need this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need this download. I need to talk to you. I'm so happy we're starting this moment. And, you know, it's funny and funky that a moment like this is the reason how we actually, like, we like stop, we got to do it. And that's the silver lining for me. And I think that you will see a lot of creatives coming out of this. Mm-hmm. You know, artists that couldn't go to studios, their work might be smaller. You know, musicians like yourself, you know, getting up and every day doing something. I've seen it from a lot of musicians just like posting something. Or DJ parties, you know, like DJ Night, mm-hmm. doing things like mm-hmm. quarantine parties. So
Hard-hitting Harry, think, you know.
Yeah. Yes, Hard Eating Harry. Yeah. I can't wait to see the creative response to this.
I think when it comes down to, you know, it's interesting, you know, your life has revolved around food, but you, what I love about you is how you involve your passion for art, music, fashion into what you're doing. It's always like a holistic, you know, stepping in, for those who haven't stepped in the Red Rooster on like a Monday night. You know, it's a holistic experience. You have the food, but you have the music, you have the people, the fashion, the aesthetics are there, and it's a whole story, you know. But I think in times like this, it reverts to basic things that people need, and obviously food is at a forefront of that. People need to eat. But music always has filled this function, and especially for people in the United States going through the traumatic history that the country has had, where music has been a place of solace and sanctuary. And most of all, maybe hope, you know?
I
think music today has one of those essential functions for human beings that we need it to just shut off the pain of things, you know, and just to be able to float for a moment, you know, for 3 minutes or 5 minutes and just float into Fela Kuti's rhythm or to Marvin's voice or, you know, Stevie's harmonica or something. Just for a second to be like, you know, just take a breath, feel like, you know, there's still life, there's life in us until we die. I think music offers that, like, it just becomes more poignant today than any other day before this pandemic. You know, we, like, for example, like I was saying earlier, we expect that we're going to have a tomorrow. We want to be able to take a future for granted, but then what did we want to invest today to be able to have that future tomorrow? And a lot of how our society is built up and how people are functioning inside that society is like, you know, I'm going to take as much as I can today and not give anything back. One of the silver linings in a pandemic like this is that all of a sudden, you know, that's erased, you know, whatever honeypot you were sticking your hand in, that's gone. So now all that's left is like, who are you as a human? What can you put, what do you want to give back? What do you want to give and share? You know?
Yeah.
So to me, that's been music. To you, it's food. It's I think a lot of beautiful things are going to come out of this. But I also, having said that, I also think that, you know, this pandemic is uncovering some really ugly truths about the capitalist system. And I think a lot of pain is going to keep on for a while, even after the virus has kind of died down a bit. A lot of that pain is going to remain. You know, it's going to be difficult for a lot of people. People are losing, you know, my neighbor just lost her mother Her mom died 2 days ago, you know, coronavirus, you know.
No, it's real.
Standing there, meeting her right outside the elevator, standing at, you know, 6 feet apart and seeing that pain in her eyes. I mean, this is just, it's real, you know. And I think even more so where you are, Marcus. And I know you got to go up and work the line today, too. And, you know, we're thinking about you over here. And it's beautiful work that you and your team are doing. And I think, you know, put a speaker out there. Blast some Marvin for them while you give them the food today, you know.
Yes.
Just for everyone. Absolutely. Just for everyone, you know, because everything is going to be all right, you know.
Yes.
We're going to survive. I mean, you know.
One goal that I wanted to label these calls and these conversations, and I want today's to be called "It's Gonna Be All Right 2510. It's gonna be all right.
There you go. I love that. 2510, bro. 2510. And remember, Marcus, that there's one more number that hasn't been determined yet. 25 years to build up, 10 days to dismantle, but there's a, you know, like Phoenix out of the ashes. Yes. You know, you're going to build it up again. So it might be 25-10-2, you know? You know what I'm saying? All right, man. I love you, bro.
All right, love you, bro.
All right, we'll check in again soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.